Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to the season is really over, even though it's not officially totally over, except for 99.9%, according to computers. I am Southside Sox duty geezer Lee Allen, wearing, I think this is a 1983 team White Sox hat and a 2005 World Series shirt. Hold up there. With me, my son and West Coast correspondent Will, who is wearing a Chicago Americans hat.
American Giants.
Even more nostalgic than I am in trying to rid all thoughts of 2022 from our minds as we go. We're recording this on Friday morning after the debacle of the Cleveland series.
What
a mess.
What do you do? You have a chance. You get to play the guys you need to beat. You can have at that point when the series started, I think we could have been one back at the end of the series if we had swept, maybe two.
No, but, one, and we would have held the tiebreaker.
Yep. We would have been one back. We would have held the tiebreaker. We would have been in a sweet spot, and instead we did the complete opposite of that. And you kind of felt the wind leave the sails Tuesday night in extra innings with that loss. Jake Diekman, who will forever be remembered as one of the more perplexing and terrible deadline acquisitions.
And we'll be back and we get to enjoy him next year.
Which is mind-blowing to me. I honestly think Cairo's one terrible decision was putting Diekman in that game when he did. I realize we kind of used all the good ones, but that kind of sealed the deal. And watching him pitch, you know, of course he's frustrated, but what a man. He just looked like he didn't belong on this team in that moment.
Or any team at that moment.
Yeah. But he really, you're watching him pitch and you're like, you came over from the Twins. What's going on here? Something's up. There might be a conspiracy. But as Lance Lynn so eloquently put it, we played like bleep all season. So it's not too surprising that we are in the position that we're in. But yeah, the season is over. Unless there's a miracle, I can safely say,
the magic number is 5. Each team has 12 left. So that's 24 total games. So 19 of them, no, 20 of them have to go the Sox way, whether it's Cleveland losing or the Sox winning. The algorithms at places like 538 and at Pecota and Fangraphs now give the Sox less than 1% chance. Not only, like 0.1%. Fangraphs doesn't even, they just list this. There's a point on the Fangraph, I mean, 538 where you just disappear from bold print to light print. We disappeared to light print. Still about, I think Fangraphs gave a 0.8% chance of taking a wild card. But the wild card got really finished on Thursday as well, because the Rays won and the Mariners won. And those are the two teams he had a chance, possibly long, long, long shot to catch. I mean, it's over. It's done. And it's, you know, Tuesday, you'd say, well, we fought. Right? We got to the extra innings and we had the deep problem. Tuesday, they would have lost the regulation except for an absolutely horrible umpiring call. And Terry Francona had already used up his challenge. So when it became very clear on the replays that Rosario had scored but been called out, there was nothing he could do about it. So that sent it to extra innings. It wouldn't have gone there. And then the next two games, they weren't there. The life that the team showed from the time the Hall of Famer baseball person left and Miguel Cairo took over and really ran all the way through that first game. They still had life in the first game. Was just gone. Now, part of that is excellent pitching. Tristan McKenzie and Shane Bieber are really, really good pitchers. And when you can't hit at all, you look lifeless.
But and still, they were both, to be fair, McKenzie and Bieber were also both on. Like they yeah. McKenzie looked, you know, he looked 1 year out of being elite, which is kind of where he is right now. You know, if they can get, he probably still weighs about 34 pounds. If they can get him up to 40 pounds, McKenzie is going to be one of the better pitchers in the game. With that,
what White Sox could do. Because you always talk about a fat man. Inside every fat man is a thin man trying to get out. They could put Tristan McKenzie inside Lance Lynn. Boy, that'd be a hell of a pitcher that you had right there.
It would. It would. Yeah, McKenzie, he's about 8,000 rare steaks away from Lance Lynn size. But yeah, it was. Tuesday night was a lot of fun until it wasn't. I was watching that one as it was unfolding late in the game, and you know they battled back. They did show life on Tuesday. It was really exciting. But when they gave up five, you felt the wind leave the sails, and then we did get a little bit of life going after that, and you sort of felt it, and you thought, oh man, this could happen. We could tie this game again. It did not happen. And that wasn't the end of it, but it became clear early on Wednesday that it was the end of it. The guys just had nothing left. And it did cement for me the idea that this team would be in the playoffs if we had had a different manager the rest of the year. Without a doubt, it would have been a much more exciting, much more fun year. But this is where we are.
Well, you talk. You know, it took McKenzie 100 pitches to go eight innings. Lance Lynn had 97 and six. And we've talked about the total inefficiency of the White Sox staff before. Even Savali, 69 pitches for five innings. That's less than 14 an inning. That's excellent. Whereas Cease threw 107 pitches in six innings. And it's just something philosophically wrong that you have to go to 3-2 counts on everybody. Yes, you get a lot of strikeouts that way, but you get a lot of really bad stuff too, like having to wear out your bullpen. You know, well, you talk about excitement. I'll tell you, this Cleveland team is a lot of fun. I mean, it's not a lot of fun to be the opposing fans of the opposing team, but they're fun. We talk, scream all year with White Sox fans. I haven't because I'm not a big home run fan. But we got to have homers. We got to have homers. We got to have homers. Well, the Sox have 140 homers. Cleveland has 118th, 29th in Major League Baseball. The only team they have more than is the Tigers. Speed. If you don't hit homers, you got to have speed. And the Sox have
Angle, no speed.
Who doesn't get to play. Tim, who's always hurt. and Luis, who's either hurt or dogging it most of the time. And after that, no speed. I mean, we got at times five designated hitters in the lineup at the same time. Grandal, Abreu, Eloy, Vaughn, Sheets. In the lineup at the same time, five designated hitters, which explains why we're not. Now, Fangraphs doesn't have us as 30th in the majors in defense anymore. It's more like 28th. I think it's last in the American League.
That's just because we got Elvis Andrus. I mean, I think we'd be 30th if we did.
I think that is only because of Elvis Andrus, who put life in. I mean, it's fun to watch Elvis Andrus play baseball. It is fun. And it's actually a lot of fun to watch Elvis Andrus and Josh Harrison play baseball together in the middle. Two of the oldest guys on the team, and they play baseball like they like it.
Yeah.
So many White Sox players play baseball like, well, I'm getting paid pretty well to do this for a living, so I guess I got to be out here. Those guys play like they want to be in on every play. Give me the ball. You know, Josh had a very bad sequence early in September. They had about a week where he made a couple of errors in one game, and as you had mentioned to me just texting, it kind of got into his head, and it stayed there for about another three, four, five games. Recovered from it totally after that. He has far, far and away the highest D-WAR on the White Sox. There are almost no other positive D-WAR. The second one is Reese McGuire, who's been gone. Yuan has been there, but I think Yuan's probably had the drop in the last few days. It's been absolutely horrible.
Horrible. Horrible. He only got charged with one error, I think, in that Lance Lynn inning. Realistically, it could have been three. I mean, it was...
Oh, easily.
It was an absolutely... I texted you. I said, this is the worst inning of baseball, Major League Baseball, I've seen in ages. It was absolutely pathetic. Just every play wrong. Guys not even covering bases. I mean, they had to play a third and... Yuan didn't cover third, and they threw to third, and he's not there. I mean, it's just crazy.
And the debacle with Vaughn out in left field, somebody's supposed to call for that ball, presumably Vaughn, who ends up dropping it because they're standing 2 feet apart from each other. And I mean, that's Andrew's fault, too. Andrew should be screaming that he's got it.
Yeah.
Whereas I realize he's so incredibly slow that he doesn't have a lot of confidence that he does have it.
Yeah.
But he still, that was a really easy one. It was a pop-up, and it wasn't that close to the infield. He only had, I don't know, maybe 10 steps to go to get to it, and it was very high. I mean, just one play after another. But now I give Cleveland credit. Speed. Great defense, even though they almost blew the first game on Rosario, making a bad play. He's, and I mean, defense, Sox defense. I don't know what they're, Tim can come back. I don't know if I want to say don't bring him back because he might get hurt, you know, let him recover more. I want to see him at second base with Andrus at shortstop. I want to see that for 5 and 6 games and see what happens because Tim is really not a good shortstop. He is a barely adequate shortstop. He's kind of middle of the pack or a little lower as a shortstop. But if he was at second and he didn't have to do that in the hole and throw when he shouldn't throw kind of thing, he might be really, really good. Now, I realize I'm talking against Josh Harrison, who's one of my favorite players. And I'm not saying that they can sign him. Andrus is a free agent. They got him for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, almost literally nothing. At major league minimum because Oakland is paying his salary this year. There was a $14.5 million salary. I don't think the Sox are going to – I don't think he'll get 14.5 next year, but they'll probably get 10. He's a tremendous fielder still, and he hit 315, 320 once he came over to the White Sox. Now he's a 245 or so lifetime hitter, but it shows the life. It's not like he's fading. He's not fading at all.
And just the stuff you see Andrus do when he's at the plate. I mean, he's constantly calculating. If he misses a pitch, you see him like working through what went wrong on that pitch. So that he comes up to the next one, doesn't make the same mistake. He looked like a Major League Baseball player. And I can't believe I'm saying that with surprise, but but you're exactly right. I mean, and you know I've defended him his whole career, Moncada. Could you check out more? Could you be less like, you know, Elvis Andrews?
I just really wonder with you on, because occasionally he comes back and he's got great fielding skills at third, but, you know, as you say, he's checked out hitting skills sometimes. I just think he's never been right since he had the COVID at the beginning of last season. He's just never been right. And I don't want to make excuses for him being screwing up as much as he does, but I think that's a possibility. That he's a long former.
But didn't he have COVID in the 2020 season?
I thought it was right before 2021 season.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's possible that it's that. But also, long form COVID doesn't make you indifferent to the game of baseball. And
that's true.
And that's really what it has looked like from Moncada. And that's what it's looked like from Luis Robert, too. And I'm glad Lance Lynn said something as blatantly as he did. This team has played like crap. It has been a terrible team to watch. It's been so disappointing. My poor wife has had to deal with me swelling into hope and then being defeated and then swelling into hope. And, you know, in a lot of ways.
Your mom's in the same situation.
So. Yeah. And I guess in a lot of ways this is best because now we can go the rest of the year and not really, you know, be rooting for Kansas City at the end for six games, which is unrealistic. But yeah, just a totally lifeless team. And I agree. I think the best move in terms of experimenting would be bring Tim back, put him at second, just bench Moncada. He doesn't deserve to be playing at this point. Put Harrison at third and just see what happens and just see what that defense looks like. Because I mean, Harrison, Andrews, Anderson, and then Abreu, you're looking at a solid infield, a really good infield.
Well, Jose's pretty lousy.
Right, he's
terrific on the 3-6-3 double play. He's very good on going back on pop-ups. He can't catch the damn ball at first base anymore.
Yeah, I mean, in the ideal world, you actually move Jose to DH for the rest of the year, let Vaughn play first and just see what he can do over there because he doesn't really get a chance to play his natural position. And then just let Eloy run around out in the outfield for a few games and end his season.
I hope he doesn't hurt himself.
But he will, but the season's over. So, you know, he's got time to recover. We got to take our break right now, though, and then we will be back and talk about what it looks like moving forward and
yes, let us
jump from clinging desperately to an exciting past, past our miserable present and see what the future has in store. So give us a second. We'll be right back on Sharing Socks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to Sharing Socks. You know, we're trying not to be too much of downers today. I'm sure there are a slew of White Sox podcasts that are wallowing in misery today.
Well, how can you not?
How can you not? So moving forward.
Here's a question. Okay, the first thing is, and this goes on Rick Hahn, not even on Tony La Russa, is that we have the five designated hitters. It's nobody's fault in management or front office that you want Yasmani Grandal no longer is a viable catcher. I mean, he's just an emergency catcher. and what's happened with him. That, and it's not even his fault. I mean, his knees collapsed.
Yeah.
And what he was good at before was taking walks and occasionally hitting a long ball. Well, with no knees, pitchers know he's got no knees. They ain't worried about the long ball.
No.
So they're not walking him anymore. You know, the Sox had one walk in that Cleveland series. That was first or second inning. No walks from there on out. And you're facing very good pitchers, but that's ridiculous.
that is ridiculous.
But anyhow, there's nothing you do about Grandal. You got to try to get rid of somebody else. Of course, Jose is the automatic one. He becomes a free agent. He is not, as he did last time, where I said anything about, I really want to stay here. I got to be here. You and I have guessed that his decision will be, his decision whether he wants to stay, will be based on whether Tony La Russa is there or not. And if they dump La Russa, then Jose would want to be back and will tell his agent he wants to be back and will take something of a pay cut if it needs be. I mean, he's soaked away, $80 or $90 million. I think he can do it. But and then of course the team has to decide whether they want to get in on the bidding, if they want to do a qualifying offer, which makes sense because that's about what he gets paid. A qualifying offer is going to come in at 18, 19 million. That's what he would kind of expect. He's getting paid 16 or so this year.
I wouldn't pay him that next year. I mean, I wouldn't. I love Jose. I think he's the lifeblood of this team in a lot of ways, but 18 million, no way. No way. It's just,
well, you're, maybe you don't do a qualifying offer and see what the market is and get it. If not, it would be a shame to lose him. I think he's probably got a couple good hitting years left, not necessarily defensive at all, but good hitting years.
But as you said,
incidentally on that, we talked about years left. I looked this up. We talk, and I mean you and I, Sox fans in general, Sox establishment. Oh, this is a young team. Young team. We're going forward. It's a young team. You know, I looked it up. This is the fourth oldest team in the major leagues.
Holy cow.
It's, I think, sixth oldest for batters and seventh oldest for pitchers. The other way around. Put them together. Fourth oldest team in the major leagues. And that was somebody doing the calculating at the end of July. So it included anything that happened. It's before Elvis Andrus, who raises the age.
Who brings it up.
And Cleveland is the youngest, easily the youngest, of both pitchers and batters. I mean, this is not a good future for the White Sox unless they do something drastic. The big call right now that I see out in comments, and you're on Twitter, I'm not, is will Jerry Reinsdorf please die? Cruel though that may be, it may be the only solution. And we for years and years, you just talk about Jerry being cheap. He wasn't cheap this year. Seventh highest payroll in baseball should get you more than the, I think it's 28th highest that Cleveland has.
He spent the money,
but it was so badly spent. Rick Hahn said the money will be spent. Well, he's the one who spent it horribly. And if Jerry's been alive, the first thing he has to do, this is the procedure should be, it's not going to happen, this is what it should be. He needs to fire Kenny Williams.
Yes.
And bring in a president of baseball operations, and president of baseball operations will be told you may have the general manager that you want. That person will then fire Rick Hahn and will get the general manager he wants, who will be told you may hire the manager that you want, who will then be hired, being told you may hire the coaches that you want, where I guess every coach except Ethan Katz will be gone. Everyone. It goes down the line. And I wrote it in an article this week that it should include the PR department, which managed not to mention for what, a week and a half or 2 weeks, that or ever say beforehand, Tony's had a pacemaker before. It's not like he had to go in and have a pacemaker put in. His pacemaker went on the fritz. It happens. He needed it replaced. They then wrote, Aaron Boone has a pacemaker. Well, that's working just fine. Why was this never told? This wasn't some deep, dark medical secret like he's suffering from syphilis. We can't tell people about that. A pacemaker is kind of a normal thing to exist. Your grandfather had a pacemaker and lived well with it for years, played tennis 3 or 4 times a week with it. Not a problem.
Yeah, and then when it did come out, they acted like
fired the whole thing.
They acted like he had to get an emergency pacemaker, is what the news made it sound like, and it was all, I still think, fairly bogus and just to save face. And I'm sure something was wrong with it, and he needed it to be fixed. But the you hit the nail on the head. Kenny Williams has to go. Rick Hahn has to go. The entire coaching staff, save Ethan Katz. And I would also argue Miguel Cairo should stay on the bench.
If you will. Cairo may be somebody that other teams are looking at from this point on. And I think when the general manager comes in, this new general, I mean, this is fantasy world, but when this new general manager comes in and fires LaRussa, what you say to Cairo is, you're in the mix.
Yeah.
You're under consideration. We want to see what else, forgive us, but you don't have much experience, and we want to see what else is out there. He could end up being the manager. He probably wants somebody a little more experienced, not necessarily 500 years of experience like they went for before.
But someone with more than 25 games.
Yeah. That's probably what, and they could get it. This is a major market. This is the third largest market.
And the seventh largest payroll, as you just pointed out. It's not like they're asking you to come to Miami during a rebuild. Like, you should, with these players, be in contention for a championship. You should. You absolutely should. And, yeah, I mean, the big question as we move forward is, will we have to deal with LaRussa? Because if we find out Tony LaRussa is back, that means Kenny Williams is back. Rick Hahn is back. That coaching staff is all back. And that is, to me, the end of next season already. There's just no reason, if LaRussa is still at the helm, to assume that this team would be any better next year.
Nash, even Nash with the Athletic, one of their Ken Rosen, the guy with the mustache, the bow ties on, Rosenthal? Rosenberg,
yeah.
Rosencrantz, yeah. And Guildenstern.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had an article in The Athletic. This is a national writer, not a White Sox or Chicago writer, saying LaRussa needs to do the classy thing and bow out. And he can blame it on his doctors, say it's on health, but he needs to do the classy thing. The problem is LaRussa has no class.
Yeah, there's no way.
Arrogant jerk. And he's not going to do the right thing by anybody or anything. It's going to have to be done for him, either by a really dire health emergency or by our 89, 900, 250-year-old, whatever he is, owner, Jerry sitting down with him and say, Tony, I love you, but maybe it's time to. And the talk is that he'd be promoted to be a special assistant in the office, which he destroyed Arizona. He destroyed the Angels. So, well, that's going to be a real good idea to have him up there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way he gets let go is if Reinsdorf gets rid of Williams and gives him Williams' job, which is, of course, an absolute nightmare. We are running out of time for this week. I wish we had more joyful and eloquent things to speak about here, but we do not. So we will see you next week to either officially lay this to rest or to hope for the greatest comeback in the history of baseball, which honestly would be great to watch. It really would. But I'm not expecting it to happen. Do you have any final thoughts before we sign off this week?
No, I'm not expecting it either. Neither is anybody else.
Yeah.
Or any computers.
we'll see what happens. We got a lot of big, big decisions to be made with the White Sox moving forward. In the meantime, Cleveland is looking really good. They put us to shame. They played